This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. When my daughter is sick, I turn to my Kinsa smart thermometer for peace of mind. It remembers her temperature, symptoms, and medication, so I don't have to. And it even lets me send it to her doctor. Get your own Kinsa at kinsahealth.com. And this episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by BumbieBox, an eco-friendly toy subscription service. Each BumbieBox comes with fun, play-based toys and activities specially chosen for your child. BumbieBox helps create beautiful new memories for your family by curating toy boxes just for you. Go to BumbieBox.com and find out why BumbieBox is a better way to play.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hi, everyone. It's episode 44 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker, and I'm so glad you've joined me on the show today. We have such a treat today. Rachna Fruchtbaum is a writer on a show called Fresh Off the Boat, but she also used to be a writer on Parks and Recreation. And she's also a mom and has a second baby, a little girl, on the way. In fact, she could be having the baby right now as we're listening to this podcast. Maybe she's listening to it in the delivery room, and the soothing sounds of my voice are helping her along in that delivery. But anyway, what's great is that she has such a wonderful perspective on motherhood here in the entertainment business as a writer. What compelled her to get into writing for television and for television comedy. She did not have a traditional path to her career, and it's one of the things I love to share on this show is people who have a very unique story. And as I'm discovering, as I navigate through these interviews and meeting people, there's so many wonderful, talented people in this town, and sometimes where they end up or where they're at right now isn't necessarily where they set out to be. Also, you guys who are along with me for this journey get to discover these friendships and these relationships right along with me, because I did not know Rachna before she came in. Like, she is a friend of a couple of friends of mine from Mommy and Me, and they were like, oh, you have to meet our friend. She's so funny and she's a writer and you would love her. And I was like, great. Let's do it. And I reached out to her, and she was more than willing to come on and let me grill her for a while about her career and everything. So hopefully you guys will get to know her, you know, right along with me. So that's really the goal of Motherhood in Hollywood, for us all to become friends and live in a beautiful utopia. Yay. All right. That's not the goal at all. Scratch that. What else has been happening? Oh, the MIH 15 by 15 is officially over this week. Woohoo! I will be posting on my Motherhood in Hollywood page in the next day or so. My anniversary is May 5th, so I'll definitely be posting by then. If I made my goal, if I reached my goal of losing 15 pounds by my 15th wedding anniversary, I feel pretty good about it, you guys. I feel pretty good. I'm not, admittedly, I'm not where I would like to be. I would have loved to have been able to say, like, oh, I not only, you know, I lost 25 pounds, but honestly, knowing my diet and what I'm eating and the weakened moments that I've had, it's just not realistic. And I've been very open and honest about this journey and this process of discovering myself and what I've learned about working out and health and eating. And I'm going to spill all of that as well on my blog this week on motherhoodinhollywood.com. So make sure you go there and check it out. Also, there's a giveaway. If this show comes out on Monday for MIH Monday, you have a couple of days to enter. Just hashtag MIH 15 by 15 anywhere on social media and I'll find you. You'll be entered to win a giveaway, which includes some really cool stuff from the workouts that I've tried, the health programs that I've tried, and that sort of thing. And you guys can have a little sampling of the 15 by 15 of your very own. Also, I know it is my anniversary week and I'm so excited. So while you're listening to this podcast, I'm hopefully in a plane somewhere flying somewhere fabulous. We're going to Napa, actually, and I have some pretty cool things planned. I guess I shouldn't really talk about it. My husband listens. My husband previews all of the podcasts, so I probably shouldn't tell those here. I'll tell him next week. In the next episode, you'll get to hear about some of the fun things that I have planned for him. I'm so excited. And what else has been happening? You guys, I went to the most ridiculous audition the other day ever. I had to like dance around with professional dancers, and I was just not a professional dancer, but fake it till you make it. But it was a lot of fun. I had a good fun time at the audition. I just kept thinking, I wish I had really taken the time to hone more skills like some of the women who are professional dancers, or they speak another language, or they have other interesting and unusual crafts and things that I don't. What do? I don't know. I question myself constantly as an actor. Am I talented enough? Am I bringing enough of my own unique voice to this part or this character? And at some point I just have to stop questioning, right? Like, you just have to embrace it and go, here's what it is. Here's what I've got. I'm bringing this to the table. You can either take it or leave it, Hollywood. So that's kind of, I get into a rut every now and then, a funk, if you will. I'm trying to shake it off. Try not to let it get to me, but it's hard. This town is really hard. This town is a lot of rejection and a lot of constantly questioning your self-esteem. And you just wonder if you're making the right choices and the right decision. And so I have to trust that I am, right? We all have to trust to a certain point. So that's what I'm trying to do. A couple of house cleaning things. I say house cleaning. That's not really what I mean. I don't actually clean my house. A couple of things I want to mention to you guys. Take a moment to go and check out my sponsors, the sponsors of my show, BumbyBox.com. If you love eco-friendly toys, especially for those of you who love toys that come without chemicals and are good for the environment to promote sustainability, go to BumbyBox.com and sign up for one of their BumbyBox subscription services. Enter the code MIHOOD and you'll get 10% off there. The BumbyBox we got, Channing still plays with everything in it. It was this cool eco-friendly Play-Doh, but that hasn't, I guys know Play-Doh is a brand name, but this was something different, but it hasn't dried out. It smells good. It's a lot of fun. We also have these cool coloring rocks that she loves to color with, but her most favorite thing in there was this little dinosaur puppet, and she wants to like sleep with it. It helps her pick up her toothbrush. It's really funny to watch her play and use her imagination with these toys that she's gotten from BumbyBox. So if you get a chance, go to BumbyBox.com and check those out. And also Kinsa at KinsaHealth.com with the digital thermometer that you plug right into your phone to keep track of your kids' temperatures and medication and symptoms and all of that stuff. So take a take a moment to go and check out the sponsors of MIH podcast, because they are really cool products and I wouldn't support something or offer you guys something if I didn't believe in them myself. So go to BumbyBox.com and KinsaHealth.com to check out those two items. Also, while you're at it, kids, make sure you subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood on iTunes and Stitcher. If you're a fan of the show, subscribing to the show makes a world of difference. Also, while you're there, feel free to leave a review. If there's something you like or don't like about the show, let me know. I'm happy to read it and then completely ignore it and move on with my life. No, no, I do want to hear from you guys. So go to MIH Podcast on Twitter and then Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook and Instagram. And let me hear from you. I like to know you're out there. All right, so I'm going to quit talking now and get to this really fun interview with Rechna Fruchtbaum.
How did you get used to the sound of your voice? Listening to this, you have a nice voice. I can't get used to the sound of
my
voice.
I used to be a reporter for like a million years.
So
my voice sounds amazing to me already.
You already know how great your voice is.
Oh, that's sweet. These compliments are coming from Rechna Fruchtbaum. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. She is a writer and mom and currently working on Fresh Off the Boat, but also worked on Parks and Recreation as well. And I know that there's probably a lot of other things that we're going to delve into. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I do have an amazing voice. Thank you for pointing
that
out.
You do. I have
such a
smurf.
A jerk.
No, I have a Smurf-like voice, so I'm like really always cute, jealous. Actually. I'm jealous of people.
But see, the difference is you could do animation and you could do voiceover work for like animated characters. For me, they're like, we're going to need you to play like a butchy lunch lady. So I'm like, all right, I got that down.
Oh, hey, that's a good.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
So tell me, what? How did you get started as a writer? Was that something you always wanted to do?
No, I don't, like, I never thought of myself as a writer because I feel like I've been lucky in my life with super smart friends who were writers, and mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not one of those. I've always been into comedy because just growing up watching SNL and yeah. Letterman and whatever, the usual suspects,
yeah,
just TV. Golden Girls.
Shut up. I favorite, love the Golden favorite Girls. Show. I will time. Watch it. If that's on, I will watch yeah. a marathon of that.
Because it holds up.
It does hold up.
Yeah, because it had to be, I feel like a show about four old ladies had to be so much funnier
yes.
to work. And so the bar was so high.
Do you think, too, have you noticed, and we were just talking about shows that are kind of pushing the boundaries and, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, how Star Trek was sort of before its time. Golden Girls, for me, is definitely one of those shows.
Totally.
I mean, they talked about gay issues. They talked about elderly discrimination.
Also just, like, sexuality and women. Yeah. Like, Blanche was the original Samantha.
She totally was. She totally was.
There's no Samantha without Blanche Devereaux.
I know. I mean, all of those women were so beautifully cast. So, and yeah. I hate to, like, read too much about it because I read that, like, nobody liked Betty White or, you know, some reason, I forgot Dorothy's name, B. Arthur.
Yeah.
They didn't get along.
I've heard that too.
I hate to hear that because so much magic.
I think it was just Betty White. I think the rest of them loved each other.
Yeah. I think maybe there was maybe a little bit of playing sides.
Sure.
But I wonder how much of that's true because, you know, they said that about the Sex and the City ladies. Yeah. You brought that up too.
Totally.
I wonder if that's just because whenever you have a female cast, people assume.
Yeah. Or if they... if someone watches them interact in a way that like men would interact normally, like giving each other shit,
right?
Whatever. When it's women, it's like, oh, they hate each other.
Oh,
they're
they must
so
be
catty.
Catfighting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you think consider yourself to be a feminist? Are you a
yes.
feminist gal?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Really?
100%. Went to Wellesley.
Okay. You can't say that. I went to Wellesley.
You can't leave Wellesley and be like, I mean, I guess you can. I'm sure there are people who have, but it would be weird.
And were you into writing when you were there? Or did that all sort of pop up after college?
It's so writing. I started thinking about writing probably right around when I was 30.
Uh-huh.
I have used writing in my life as an outlet. Like, I was an IT consultant in San Francisco right out of college, which I hated.
Ooh,
and so I wrote these, like, anthropological essays, literally just for my, like, roommate's amusement.
Oh, my God.
Called On the Nature of Poots, which is what I call it. I don't even remember where that term came from.
I would like to read that. That's hilarious.
I can't find them. I must have, like, as I have done, destroy things I write and then... Because I get embarrassed.
I think
and
writers
then,
do that. I think that's something we all do. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down to start to write a blog post or the next big screenplay.
Totally.
And been like, this is garbage. Delete.
Delete. And then delete from your trash.
Yeah.
And then you like regret it because you're like
what if there
even
was
if it was shitty,
there.
It would be so funny to read now.
Right.
But
writers
so
are
I've,
too hard on themselves, I think.
Yeah. I know. It's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Like, it's like.
You have to have a little bit of, like, self-hatred.
Yeah. It's like if you meet someone who's like, I'm an amazing writer, you're like, no, you're not. There's no way.
then right there, you not know 100%.
Possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're probably terrible.
Totally.
You write haikus. Oh,
yeah, you don't. You think everything has to rhyme.
Oh,
you're a bad person.
I say I'm an amazing writer, but out of, like, with a, like, arrogance.
Yeah, with a wing.
Just
or with a true
arrogance. Right. Yes. Like, also, I am an amazing mom and an amazing everything.
Exactly.
So.
Amazing, amazing, amazing wife.
Right. Super. But that's where that's where I always come from. And people, if they don't know me, they always kind of go,
totally.
Like, are you sure? Like, I don't know if I agree.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So you were in IT, which is totally different world.
No. And I... So, but writing, I guess I used it as an outlet in my life,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't think about it, and I moved to LA for like the very vague like TV film. Like, I just want to be in entertainment. I love TVs and
somehow,
movies.
Somehow, some way, yeah.
No idea about anything. Mm-hmm. Still, I don't think I even thought of comedy writing as like a job that existed.
Honestly, I never have either.
Yeah. It's just like, if someone had told me like, oh, there are people who write TV shows, I would have been like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's a job. But
yeah.
If you're not from here or exposed to it in any way,
yeah.
Like, it's just, I mean, I'm from Ohio and I'm Indian. That combination, like, when I was like, I'm going to move and try and get into TV and movies, people were just like, okay.
You might as well have been like, I'm going to the moon.
Yeah. See you back here in a year. That's adorable. Like,
oh,
you're not.
Heavens. That is rude.
I mean, I get it.
But look at you. You show look them. Fuck you. Those yeah. guys. Yeah.
But I was in development for a long time. Mm. Even then, I didn't think about writing.
Development in terms of like getting ideas and trying to make them into shows kind of thing?
Yeah. Movies, though. Oh, movies. Like, I worked, well, I was an assistant to an agent for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got an MBA.
Oh, wow.
For no reason.
In film and television? Or
no, like a...
Like business?
Business.
Oh, I guess that's yeah. what an MBA is.
No, but that like, yeah, dumb. Not
My
related.
My husband's going to kill me, yeah.
No, it was like, I feel guilty as a child of two doctors that I don't have.
Oh,
I should
the
do
guilt.
Something responsible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I got a job that's like literally what I could have gotten right out of working at the agency, which was at HBO Films.
Yeah.
Then I worked there for 2 years, and I worked at this place called Smokehouse for 2 years.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's like Grant Heslov and George Clooney's production.
But not company. The restaurant that's in Burbank.
No. But really, I think name probably based on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
So did you have to read a lot of scripts?
Yes. So I read a ton.
You just read like garbage scripts?
So many good ones too, but so many garbage ones.
Oh, wow.
So you read and you read and you read. And also... just like happened to have a group of friends in which there were comedy writers. So I was like, it was like in the air. And I realized I didn't want to be a development executive. And so my friend and I, Jean, mm-hmm. who you met.
Yeah.
She and I like talked about writing. We wrote something and then mm-hmm. I got pregnant and she was moving to New York because her husband got a job there, and it sort of didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I dropped it, and I was like, I think I'm supposed to be a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. That's why I can't figure this
out. Oh, interesting. Okay, so you kind of were...
I was like, that's why I don't know.
Life kind of stepped in. Mm-hmm. We should also point out that Rechna right now is super pregnant.
I'm ready to have this baby.
She could go into labor any minute. I just want
and
to be prepared.
My hospital's in Burbank, so it's like
there
so nearby. We'll be
totally
fine. It's great.
It's going to
be great.
I hope
I go into labor because both for the excitement for the podcast and for my own mental state.
And your own comfort level.
Yeah.
Just get out.
I'm ready.
Oh my gosh. And you're not even 40 weeks yet, right? You're
no, I'm 36? Like 37 and something.
Okay.
But she's cooked.
Yeah. She's
and I'm a very petite, short woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no more room.
You're like, come out
it's
already.
Over. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I remember that 39th week. Mm. I was fine up until about then. I was like, oh, I'm uncomfortable, but you know, it's just kind of fun. And then around 39, I was like, whoa. We gotta.
It's over.
We gotta wrap
Well,
this
you're
up.
Tall, so you had mm-hmm. a little more room before it got.
Right, right.
With my first, I didn't get here, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. This is my first experience with this discomfort.
Were you married when you came out to LA then?
No.
So
I
met
my
here?
Husband when I was an assistant at the agency.
Oh, okay, cool. And is he in the business too then?
Yes. He works at Sony in marketing.
And do you guys talk about the business a lot, or do you try to keep that kind of...
We talk...
I mean, you probably can't help it, but a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it comes
you know?
Up, mm-hmm. but it's more in the context of, like, the way that you would talk to your spouse about work. Like, mm-hmm. I'm frustrated about yeah. this, or this was hard, or this was a good thing, or...
Yeah.
And less, like, business talk, like, what do you
right.
think of?
Yeah. Can you believe this person
Look
is developing
ratings.
This?
And, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. We don't do a lot of that. It's more just yeah. like, oh, this was hard today.
Yeah, yeah. So I read an article... about you when I was doing my research because mm-hmm. I stalk people who come on my show like crazy.
Oh, so then
it's
you've
weird.
Heard all these tidbits I just said. Probably.
No, actually I haven't.
Okay.
The article I read is about when you were a staff writer on Parks and Rec.
Oh, from Glamour?
Yes. Which I was like, why is Glamour doing this?
Oh my God. That was the weirdest day.
It was a weird article.
It was a weird article and made us all look so stupid. Unfunny.
Little, yeah, and like a little dingy, not stupid. Stupid. No, is right, but like a
I know
little,
what
like,
you mean. They like every it. It made me it was feel like I never want to do an interview again.
Also, too, it kind of. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Then I didn't yeah. shut you didn't shut away. I convinced you. I loved how like everybody's title was like so and so's written on all these other things and done this other project.
Hilarious.
And yours was like stay-at-home mom. What? I was like, what a weird title. Like, I'm sure that's not all she's done.
No,
and not that it's just.
It was definitely the thing I did right before Parks. So yeah. Like, it's so funny.
But I just thought it was very because it just seemed like totally. They just plucked you from your home and like. Now let's give her a writing
job. They saw
job.
Like three tweets I wrote about being yeah. a mom. And
yeah, that's yeah. what it seemed like.
It was
like,
not that.
This gal's a funny no. mom. Let's give her a job in TV. And I was yeah. like, I don't think that's how that came
no.
to be.
Stay-at-home motherhood was the impetus in the sense that I was like, oh,
I need to
of
get
all
out.
The things in the world oh. I haven't taken to, mm-hmm. stay-at-home motherhood
was not for you.
Not for me.
Really? See, I think that's so interesting to
and
hear mom say
really
that.
And it was really hard to admit.
I
it made me feel
such
shitty
a taboo.
And guilty.
Yeah,
yeah, because yeah. it's like one thing to like plan to go back to work, then see your beautiful child mm-hmm. and be like, I can't.
Yeah,
that's like so. And stay-at-home moms are amazing humans, mm-hmm. like the most amazing of all the humans to
right.
me.
Some
it's
of them
like,
are.
Some of them are.
Some of us
right,
sit
but I mean,
on our phone at the park and tweet.
Sure, but just in terms of like, if you get filled up by it, and if you. Are able to do it, it's like
good for you.
And mm-hmm. I didn't have that feeling.
Yeah.
I was and I have learned, like, since I started working, I'm a better mother, better partner. Like, I was able to hold it together as a mother, stay at home, but like as a partner, I was like
it's so hard.
It just I couldn't quite
finding
I needed
the balance.
Something else.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know balance gets thrown around a lot as like
totally.
A buzzword for parenting and stuff like that, but it kind of is to where you're not like so in love with your children that you only give them all of your
exactly.
attention, and then your partner comes home and is like, hey, but what about me, friend?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, when your husband comes home, then you ignore your kids. It is
exactly.
hard to
it's
find
hard to find the balance. And I think I realize, like, I'm a person who just, like, functions better with more balls in the air, because if I'm just home and the thing I'm doing is being a mom, also I don't like cooking, which
yeah.
was another thing I had to
cook.
Except because I feel like I felt like I should be like everyone likes to cook and I don't.
No, it's not true.
And I don't like to do crafts.
And
like
not
I don't.
Everyone, not everyone should cook. And I'm a
no.
terrible crafter. I want to stay at home because I just am lazy and I don't want to go work full time. No.
I love that, but obviously you have like stuff you do.
Right, right.
In my, I couldn't like. And so, like, it started as having stuff to do. It didn't start as, like, I want a full-time job out of the house.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it
how
was
did
like,
it start where you were starting to get the itch to
it was like,
to get out?
This is how it started. My husband very loved, he was like, we can afford for you to have a little bit of help. Because that's the other thing you don't realize mm-hmm. is, like, oh, if I'm stay at home, I shouldn't get to have any help.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, no. Where I grew up and, like, where my cousins grew up and the reason they could do that, the ones who did it, was because they had family nearby.
Yeah.
So
they had grandmas, aunts,
yeah.
uncles, everybody, cousins coming
help
in
people,
to help.
And just like mm-hmm. people to hang out with as they were watching their kids, like, as opposed to like you're
or have
alone.
An adult person to talk to, right?
Totally. So they didn't do what I did, which was like go to Ralph's and then like 15 minutes later, I'm talking to the checkout guy and he's like, why are we
especially when
why are we talking
why are we do that all the time I'm like
totally
I found because I'm in general and most of my friends can attest this not like a friendly person I'm not a nice person
oh my god I
I'm
that's
totally
not my
bitchy.
Experience of you
oh,
but that's
thank
hilarious
you. I'm totally just sort of like all right let's not talk but after I'd been at home with my daughter for yeah. a few months by myself I'm like hi,
yeah.
I would like an orange Julius. What do you put
totally.
In there? What do you, or like the orange
oh my God.
Jamba juice. What do you put in that? Oh, orange juice. Oh, that's, I mean like.
OJ?
Right.
Oh.
What else? It's so creamy.
I would go to Starbucks. Like, I think I went to Starbucks probably like 3 times a day
mm-hmm.
as part of like, I remember like watching About a Boy and he was like, I divvy the day up into half hour increments and that's how I passed the day and that's
yeah.
sort of how I felt. So like one of my increments was like going to Starbucks.
Yep.
And I would be like, look at them. So free. They just like to have adults to talk to. Look at them.
They're just, they can come and go as they want.
Do they have the best lives? Like, I literally to this day, whenever I feel like panicked about anything, I'm like, should I just be a barista?
Yes.
Because it was so comforting to me at the time to go there and think about their amazing lives.
And they could literally just come and go whenever they want. They could probably,
they got free drinks, probably got like scones.
Yeah. It does just sound very liberating.
I mean, and I was like, they get good benefits, I think.
Yeah, and they have like a back-to-school program at Starbucks.
Yeah, I was like, they just pretty talk to people, deal. Adults, all day long.
There was definitely a lot of that happening where you just sort of started feeling a little antsy and a little like, ugh.
Totally.
But for me, I also couldn't go to work full-time and also still do acting and go to auditions.
Right.
Because I can't be like, okay, hey, I need to run to Santa Monica for 3 hours.
Exactly.
And wait
for
this commercial.
You already had like another thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't have like that other, whether it was like you were actually pursuing a career in acting, like, but even a hobby. Like, I just didn't have another thing that I made time
for.
Right,
right.
But my husband was like, let's get a nanny. It was like 10 hours a week. And to justify that to myself, I started writing.
Oh, good for you. So that's how
it started. And it started like movies because that's what I'd worked in.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend who was also kind of like thinking about writing. And so to like make myself do it, we would like meet at King's Road.
Oh, I love that.
And write to like write not together, but and then eventually decided to write together.
One of the things that I've loved the most about learning through this podcast and talking to writers and producers is how they found that person and connected with the person who gave them the impetus and the accountability to start writing.
And there is like often the person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important and it's super inspiring to be like, it's so hard to write on your own. It's so isolating
for
writers.
It's so hard. And like comedy. And,
yeah,
and also for
how
me.
How do you know what's funny?
Totally. And also for me, it was like the point of it was to stop being so isolated. Like I made some mom friends, but it was like it was an isolating thing for me because I was also like the first of my friends to have a kid. I was
me
like
too.
31, which is like kind of young for Hollywood, for LA age.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know anyone with kids, and so it was so isolating, and my husband worked all the time back then, so.
And if he was working at Sony, then he probably had like
and a 2-hour
commute.
And back then he was in Santa Monica.
Oh, good. That's even worse.
He was at a trailer house, and so for me, it was like the social part of it was a piece of it.
Yeah.
And like. Yeah, so it was stay-at-home motherhood that sort of provided the impetus to really just, like, do
it. Did you find that you started writing about mom stuff, or were you writing about other things?
My first screenplay that I tried to do this, like, pure garbage was about hate. It was, like, about not, like, having not all positive feelings about things that you should have positive feelings about.
Right, right, right.
Which was, like, motherhood. Like, I love being a mom and I love my kid and I was like super lucky to not have that thing where I didn't feel connected to him like I loved him so much and so intensely but like there were things about like I just had so much guilt that I didn't like enjoy every minute and like that I was like
I think that happens with a lot of moms. No, I think that's a very real feeling and I don't even honestly I'm not even sure that the moms who do say that they love
it's
it 100% of the time. I don't know that they're maybe being completely honest.
Yeah.
Because they're, and which is not really fair to other moms, but because there are times when I definitely am, I feel guilty too because I just want to go work on an audition or I want to sit down and write something and I can't because my 3-year-old is like, Mommy, you come play with me? And
I
then
know.
I'm like, get out of here.
You're like,
Mom's gonna be a star. Get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, oh,
Mommy's got goals.
And then I feel like an asshole. But then on the day when she says to me, like, Daddy goes to work and Mommy stays home, then I'm like, I actually work too. And I don't ever want her to not see me working in some way. So it's...
Or like achieving things that...
Achieving things,
whether that's like financial or just like an interest, whatever it is, but that Mommy also gets to like have things she does that aren't with you.
Right. And it's hard to visualize that as a stay-at-home mom who also kind of works from home. Like, as an actress, like, unless I'm on TV, it's hard for me to be like, look, this is what Mommy does. And
exactly.
Then she'll go, Mommy's on TV, you know? Like, for her, it's just
fun. That must be, it's like, that balance seems, like, in some ways, like, just, like, leaving the house and then coming back. is concrete.
Yeah, something to them.
In some way.
But she'll get it eventually. I mean,
she will.
Yeah. And then she'll hopefully maybe appreciate it.
I assume you think of yourself as a feminist.
It's so funny. I do have feminist, I would say I'm definitely more of one now than I was years ago.
Okay. Even I shouldn't before have I moved assumed. Out
to... No, was, you can. Yeah. But I always get a little oogie with the word feminist. I think because in my mind, I immediately think of like shaved head, tattoo, like fuck dudes. You know, we're ladies and we rock hard, which is not a fair label of feminist. Sure. And I understand that.
Right.
I got into a conversation with my friend Daisy about it too. And I definitely think I am a feminist. The more I think about it, the more angry I get about the way women are treated in the world, and about the I watched that video, I don't know if you saw online the other day, about the sports writers.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Who had tweets read back to them, the whole mean tweets thing. It's and crazy. The stuff that people are saying to them on social media is unreal to me. Like
totally. And having a daughter, you're like,
and having a daughter,
what is this world? Like,
so I find myself definitely more so now and in the past 5 years, you know, 3 years especially since having her, wanting to be like, no, you are a woman and you stand up for yourself and you fight for yourself and other women, and like, it's important.
Right.
So I would say, even though I hate categorizing anything like that, I definitely
Like the label makes you squeamish, but like the certain...
It does, I think, because of the negative connotation that comes with feminism. Because sometimes I think
Which is a bummer, though.
It is a bummer, but I think sometimes they go too far and you forget that there's... And some feminists go too far in their viewpoints. And you forget that not everything is black and white.
Right.
Sometimes there is some gray issues that need to be analyzed. But those are like
It's like the associations with the words that some extreme people get.
Yeah. But definitely having a daughter has made me more open about feminist leanings.
Right. And like conscious of.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely.
I think having a kid in general, right? Like, I think I want my son to.
Yeah. I was going to ask. So what is that like for you then, raising your son? Do you find that you are making him more aware of how to be sensitive, more sensitive to women's issues?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like in motherhood, I feel like more activated about all those things than even before, and I was always like somewhat activated, but because even like there was a day where he was like, and it's just because we watch the NBA and we don't really watch the WNBA, which is
who does?
That's I think that's fair.
I'm sure someone does.
I think it's fair, but so he was like, girls don't play basketball. And I was like, hold up, mommy. like a total crazy person was mommy played basketball in high school.
And you're like, listen here.
I was a point guard and I like, but it's what? Like.
You're so tiny. How are you a point guard?
I know. Well, I know. How did I play basketball?
You're like, I just did.
I just made it happen. But I felt super like women do, you know, I felt like
preachy.
Felt like
just need to be to like let it let him have it.
Women and men do it. And he's like, well, then how come we only watch boys play? And I was like, that's a great question.
That is a good question.
And
you have a point.
Maybe I think that's like speaks to the world.
It also, I think, speaks to like, I don't know. It's WNBA is not as
fun.
Yeah.
Well, and it just hasn't been around as long enough.
Yeah, yeah.
As long and, like, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, yes.
And on today's show, we're debating the merits of the WNBA.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, click.
I know. Bye.
So you were staying at home and you took your time, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear you did that because I wish more moms would take a little time for themselves, but that guilt gets the better part of
them.
They feel like they have to be there 24/7
and
with their babies.
And yet it's so...
So
everybody's
important.
Mommy,
like
happy
hours.
Mommy, happy family. I know it took me a while to get there, but I'm glad I did. But even then, like, I wouldn't, like, when people would ask, I'd just be like, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And my husband would always be like, you're writing. She's writing. And I'd be like, I feel like it's like, I make jewelry for Etsy. Like, I didn't want, I didn't want people
like
to be
it
like,
wasn't a real
oh,
thing.
That's adorable. You write.
Can you tell we're having a blast on this show? I hope so. I want to take a second to tell you guys a little bit about Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. Kinsa is definitely designed to give moms and dads peace of mind. It's really the number one tool you should have in your toolbox. It remembers temperatures, symptoms, medication, and also gives you guidance on what to do next. If your child has a high fever or isn't feeling well, Kinsa can give you guidance on where to go from there and also can send that information to your doctor. It's truly a helpful tool for parents so that you can focus on what really matters, your child's well-being. Go to kinsahealth.com to find out more about the world's smartest thermometer. And I want to tell you about BumbyBox, an eco-friendly toy subscription service. Okay, so this is how it works. You need toys that don't have chemicals. You need toys that are fun and interesting and appropriately chosen for your child. Then you need to get BumbyBox. We love getting our BumbyBox every month. Channing cannot wait to run and open it and see what's inside. As a matter of fact, as I said earlier, her dinosaur from her BumbyBox is one of her most favorite things of all time. And that's saying a lot. So you guys have to go check out BumbyBox, but make sure you enter the code MIHOOD when you go to the checkout so that you can get 10% off from Motherhood in Hollywood. There you go. See, you're already ahead of the game. Go to BumbyBox.com to find out for yourself why BumbyBox is a better way to play. My friend Kelly, who listens to the show, she totally makes jewelry for Etsy, and I'm like,
and it's amazing, great. By the way. It's not even like I'm not shitting on that, but
it's very inconsistent, and I keep telling her like, if you're gonna do it, but she is having a hard time finding the time to
it's
do it.
It's so hard,
but no, that's totally true. It doesn't seem like it's a real job, like a real
right,
thing
unless
that you're doing,
unless you're like doing it in this way and have something to show for it, and
right.
So anyway.
How did you get then from writing 10 hours a week with your friend onto Parks and Rec? Since we now know your title was stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
Thanks, Glamour
Magazine.
That's
all the one-dimensional, all there is to me.
Right.
A lot of it was just like luck and lightning in a bottle, but we ended up we wrote a couple things, but we wrote a thing that we felt like was the thing that we could like show people that we knew to try and get an agent or a manager or something,
right,
which is the first step. And we just got really good response to it got an agent. And then...
Did you write a spec script? Is that what
you did? It was a spec. So it was original. I feel like it used to be that it was more like you wrote a Friends or whatever, but
or
now...
Office.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And now it's a little bit more... I mean, I don't want to speak to it and give some bad advice, but I think it's a little bit more like you write an original.
Right. I've read that too, that people are, because they feel like anybody can sort of take the characters that have already been fully developed and regurgitate them into a different kind of storyline, but being able to create your own original jokes and ideas and people is sometimes more telling than ripping off someone else's or like copying someone else's.
And I also just think there's not enough shows anymore that like everyone watches for there to be like context.
Right. No, it's true.
You know, it's like everyone watched Seinfeld. So if you wrote a Seinfeld spec.
Right.
People could like contextualize that right away.
Right.
But I agree. And so we wrote that and got an agent, and then just, you know, for a while we were just like waiting, and then all of a sudden we had meetings and we had some more meetings and we got a meeting on Parks and Rec. And I would love to ask what
was it about your script?
About our script and about the two of us. And
It
was another woman. And it was for, so we wrote on season 6 and 7, the last two seasons, and neither of us had ever, thank you. It takes so much credit.
You should. They were great.
I'm such
a huge fan of Parks.
Our boss, Mike Schur, is like a genius. He's amazing. He's amazing. And obviously like all the actors on that show are like incredible.
Really,
and that whole staff was so prolific and awesome and just like also good people, which is rare. It was great.
Yeah.
And it was so scary.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know like what amazing confluence of events
kind of
got
us
that show. But I think a lot of it is lightning in a bottle. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in this industry in general, like there's so much hard work that goes into it. And like both my writing partner at the time and I like certainly paid our dues in other ways. Like we're assistants.
Yeah,
in film for a long time.
Yeah,
but ultimately, like it's just like that one moment, and we got on Parks, and it was like
so
holy
great.
Crap!
And so did you have any reservations then about going from stay-at-home mom life to working full-time? How old was your son at the time?
He was four.
Okay, so right before kindergarten. Almost kindergarten.
Yes.
Okay, so that might have made it easier.
He was older. Yeah, I definitely like felt so ready as a human.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the other thing that made it easier at the time was at the time my husband had decided to stop being a trailer editor for a while, and he was writing a screenplay. So he was working, but he was working from home.
Okay.
So he was flexible. Oh, so my two seasons on Parks and Rec, he was flexible. So it made it more managed. And we still, and Eli was in school for most of the day, and we had a nanny for a little. But like, also my mom moved to town.
Oh, which, wow. Good, bad?
Amazing.
Okay.
Just like having...
You had a look on your face for a second that was like, oh, no, whoa. No.
The most amazing. It like made it possible for... Actually, she didn't move right when I started on Parks, but she moved...
Just after.
During, and like it just made it feel like, okay, there's this other person we can call if we're in a jam or whatever.
That's nice.
So logistically, as a mom, that made it a little easier for me to like... transition.
And did you feel like when you were in the writer's room, like, this is where I've been, this is where I'm meant to be? Did you kind of have this like epiphany?
I started in the writer's room and was like terrified.
Oh no. I would imagine.
And was like, I'm the dumbest, least funny person. Not because anyone was awful, but just like, you're with that writing staff was like amazing.
Yeah. They, how was there even an opening? That's what I'm curious about. Did somebody leave?
I don't know. Maybe. Huh. I think there's always a little bit like someone writes a movie or someone, you know, gets their own show. And so I think there was like maybe, you know, and maybe it was like neither my writing partner and I had ever worked in comedy or writing before. So maybe that's there was amazing. Something that was like interesting about that because there were so many like prolific, just awesome writers.
Yeah.
And like experienced in this comedy. Specific world writers that maybe it was like, oh, it'd we be nice, let's get a voice. Or I was the only mom on the show, so I don't know, you know, I mean, Amy's a mom, but in the writing staff. And
who did you like writing for the most, like which character did you enjoy?
I didn't have one that I
there wasn't one that was a fave.
No, I mean, it was always, it's always a little fun to write for, like, it was always fun to write for Andy just because, like, someone who's dumb is, like, fun to write for because you can, like, write. You
just can, total non sequitur nonsense.
Totally. So I guess, like, that was fun. But, like, I wouldn't say, I don't know, there were, each character had things that were so fun to write about. And that was, like, it was kind of cool because, like, we were fans. So, like, you also.
So you're like, oh, my God, there's Chris Pratt. There's Amy Poehler. I would be
And also just, like, when you're writing for them, you kind of know these characters already. I mean, absolutely. It was, like, so late, like, late in the run.
Yeah.
So they were so established. But which was good and so bad. Cool. It was, like, good in the sense that, like, you knew. But, like, you were also like, oh, I don't want anyone to ever think I'm, like, copying what.
Right. You know. But that would be hard, too, to kind of pick up in the middle of a show like that because you don't know what jokes have already been done.
Yeah, and you, I mean, you said. You don't ever want to come into a comedy room like guns blazing. Like, oh, what's that?
I'm an amazing writer.
Exactly. Especially if it's like, where'd you come from? And you're like, my living room. Like, I was just home.
My kids, preschool, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. Yeah. Like,
I'm hilarious.
Without like any credentials. So a lot of it was like a huge learning curve, and we were so lucky.
What a great show to learn on.
Totally
though.
And we were just so lucky with like the people were so wonderful. And Mike is so wonderful, and like Amy and everyone, like it was like a very warm, fuzzy,
I love that
show.
Yeah,
like just like the show itself.
And did it a win, did Parks and Rec win Emmys the seasons you were on?
Parks and Rec never won an Emmy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't think that.
I'm shocked by that.
It's a show that's never won an Emmy.
I'm shocked by that. It was such a smart and
it's
funny
crazy.
Show.
It suffered from, like, most of its years, 30 Rock and The Office were also happening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's crazy. It never won. And then, like, at the end, shows that aren't comedies were winning comedy Emmys, so.
Oh, yeah. Like, there was weird, there were some weird categories, right? Where you're like, this isn't a comedy.
Yeah, like, this is a great show. It's not a comedy.
Yeah.
Whatever, so.
Ooh, I'm a douchebag. I did not turn my phone off.
That was fine.
So then how did that transition? Because you're on Fresh Off the Boat now. You work on Fresh Off the Boat. I was on Fresh Off the Boat. I don't know if you know.
You were?
I was.
What episode?
It was right in the beginning. I want to say like...
Season one. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I wasn't there yet.
No. It was season one, and I want to say like episode maybe 6 or 7.
Okay.
It was early on.
What was your role?
I played like one of the diner patrons at the...
At the restaurant. At Cattleman's?
Yeah. Where it was the one where they had a cowboy... the guy who was trying to be a cowboy and like spice up the restaurant.
Oh, sure.
And like, I was this mom that was like super impressed by what all the
changes he had made. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. And like, I just remember I met Jill Armanante there.
Mm-hmm.
Jillian Armanante. I don't want to mess up her name. And she's been on the podcast. She was on last fall and like so sweet and nice and, I just remember, like, also everyone on that show was really lovely and friendly and, you
so
know.
So nice, yeah.
I keep waiting for the bad experiences that I hear
they
rumors
exist,
about.
I guess, yeah. You know? I've also been super, super lucky. Like, I mean, hit the jackpot 2 times in a row.
I hear all these rumors like, oh, this is a horrible set or this guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
I've never, in any of the TV shows I worked on, I've never had anybody who was rude or nasty or anything.
I wonder if that's because you're cool and so then people, some of that's
maybe.
Like what you put into
I'm sure that's
world.
It.
You are amazing and cool. Don't
I'm
remember.
Sure that's it.
We
yeah.
talked about it.
Yeah, I'm 100% sure that's it. But that's great. So you started in season 2, Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah.
And what is it about that show that did you go after it or did they pursue you?
No, so in between the 2 seasons of Parks, my writing partner and I talked and I was just like, as a mom, because like when you're a writing team, you split your salary and it's not like you split your time. You go both are working full time. And
I know that's crazy.
And just like as a mom and like a person with a family and I was thinking of getting pregnant, I was like, I just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I can't have you counting on me and then you get screwed. And I just like it stresses me out. And also just like financially.
It would be nice
for childcare. I got to like cover.
Yeah.
And she's so lovely and got it. And so we were a team the last season of Parks, but decided before that season that after Parks we would each write our own thing and go for it. And also like she's like insanely talented and
yeah,
we had faith. I mean, it's scary to say, you don't know, but like, I loved working with her.
You knew you would be okay.
I felt like we're both good enough to at least give it a whirl.
Right. And how does that work with the WGA though? You don't have to continue working as a team as
long
as you're
writing? No, if you get hired as a team and your contract is as a team, I think
you
have to be
a team.
But like once you just like, then we each had to write our own spec and
yeah.
So at the beginning, I basically was like, the other thing is like, I'm not as free to just take whatever. I mean, by the way, I'm so green. So I would be so lucky any show wanting me.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was like, that was another consideration is like, there are shows where if I know the hours are like insane, I just might, even though I would be so lucky,
I don't know
if I could do it.
Yeah,
I could swing it with a child and try thinking
right.
about. And then anyway, I kind of for a while was like, it took a long time to get pregnant with this one and I had a miscarriage. And so then I like gave up on it a little and then I got Fresh Off the Boat and I was like, oh, I have this new job. Like, I'm not going to like
try.
And then I got pregnant.
Of course. That's
and
the
then
way
I felt so
happens.
Bad because I didn't want my boss to be like, what the?
Be like,
but she's amazing
me.
And it's cool. But basically I said to my agents, obviously, I'll go out for any show. And mostly when you're, especially when you're a young writer, you're going out for pilots. But I had just thrown out there, I really enjoy Fresh Off the Boat. I like it.
It's such
I think
a fun
it
show.
Is a idea I have some insight into, though I'm not Chinese American. I'm Indian American. I'm an immigrant, you know, an immigrant kid and like a first generation and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny and I'm a mom. And I was like, and I heard. It's like a lovely room and I've just been spoiled by a lovely room.
Right.
So I kind of
so this was a conversation you had then with your agent where you were like, hey,
early and I was like,
put
I know
a bug
I
in their ear kind
exactly
of thing.
Okay. And like I know I'm in like truly no position. I'm like a 2 season writer, like I'm in no position to ask
but
for anything
has
but
to start somewhere,
let me just tell you,
know? You
if I if I were to have my druthers that would be like and then they were like okay cool and then I didn't hear anything about it and you go on meetings and especially since I had to go in like a whole bunch of like generals, they call them, which is like,
yeah, they have those for writers too, because they do it for
yeah,
actors.
Yeah, it's literally like a first director. Date oh God, without the promise awkward. Of
a job, right?
A job or but like we're making out or drinking.
None of the good
stuff. But you're doing all the like, tell me about you.
Oh my gosh! But I didn't know writers did that too. Yeah. That's interesting.
So it was a lot of that, and then I don't know, like. They heard that maybe Fresh Off was looking, so they kind of were like, hey, we remember you mentioned this. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'll
whatever.
And our boss on Fresh Off the Boat, Natasha Khan, is like awesome, and everyone knows she's awesome. So I was like, yeah. I would just love to meet her regardless. Just
yeah,
as
a great
like,
connection to
just
have.
Like some awesome woman to have met.
With me.
And yeah, just like. Talk to for because she's so funny and smart and good and
yeah
great like a great human and
do you
then,
find on that show is the writer's room there's a lot of talk about Hollywood being more racially balanced
sure
and that sort of thing is that a writer's room that you find is racially balanced
totally.
Are they
I mean,
representing
it's a super super diverse room
really
it's
oh,
as
good.
Diverse as probably there is in
really
comedy.
Oh that's great
yeah it's like such a like a lot of women yeah, every people of color, like,
good.
It's a super diverse room.
I
parents,
wonder if
not
that's
parents,
going to start
like,
becoming a trend more.
Yeah.
And like, as some of the older shows kind of, you know, go away and don't get picked up and all that stuff, if maybe more writers' rooms, especially on comedies.
Totally.
And stuff, like, maybe they'll start
you
picking
hope,
up the trend.
I mean, you just, what you hope is that, like, the best people get picked, but that, like, you know that that's a diverse. Pool of people and
right
so there's no reason in this day and age that like a room should not reflect
should still be like 15 Caucasian middle-aged
men,
Caucasian men.
Yeah,
yeah
from like New England
right that's so wild to me because it's like that's not even what LA is
no
you
know? It's not even what the Midwest is uh-uh. It's not even you know what I mean it's like so funny
yeah
so I hope like in casting also getting more diverse and like in gender and race and everything like that you then want a room that's writing for characters that
right
represent like you know if you have a show of like diverse characters and then you have a bunch of white dudes writing
right,
for them that's
right,
kind of like
right doesn't
super,
match up
yeah
like, do you really need, get where I'm
yeah,
coming from
you
totally.
Want to mix it up and like
do you think that you want to I mean, obviously, you're happy at Fresh on the Boat. Do you have any aspirations to write your own show one day and be a showrunner of something of your own?
Yeah.
Because I know this is all still kind of new to you.
Yeah,
it's a new world.
Yeah, it's totally
but...
new. So, like, it's like, I'm such a person who's like, I don't want to jinx myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I just want to be like, I'm just happy where I am.
Right, right.
Yeah, I would love to, like, explore that. It's really, the other thing about me is that I was 36 when I started on Parks and Rec, which is like, very kind of old to start in comedy
I've
writing.
Always wondered that because I'm an older mom too
right.
And I'm always like I don't know if anyone would even take me seriously
yeah
if I was like I'm gonna be a writer on a show or,
totally
I wonder about that if age is a factor
but ultimately it's like you have a point of view and you have something to say and but it does make it like a little more like just like there's not really a path for it because I don't think there's a ton of like people who at 36
decide they want to be TV comedy writers.
Yeah, got the opportunity and then
yeah,
were a stay-at-home all they did ever in their life before
was
that was to be
mom.
A stay-at-home mom.
I feel like it, you hit the nail on the head though because I think feel like it is a lot of like guys graduating from college, the National Lampoon, funny guys.
Yeah,
they all
and they're
out,
all
you know?
So funny and smart, and
right.
I get it. But
all
like,
at UCB and IO.
Totally,
and they're
and
the
it's
ones
a
that
young,
are getting the jobs.
Yeah, and it is. It's like a young person's world, even in the sense of like, okay, if you're a mom, like you can't just take whatever job. Like you can't. Like, there are times when you're just like, fuck, like, I can't be somewhere till midnight every night. Or you can,
right.
But, like, then you're, it's a trade-off. And
yeah.
So, it things get limited down. And like, literally just, like, I'm an old lady and I get tired easily.
Right, right. I was like, the bottom line is around 10. I'm like,
it.
I'm tired.
Like, I cannot cut it. Yeah.
I'm going to eat this bag of Milano's and then
yeah.
I'm going to bed.
And I, like, don't have time to, like, be up on, like, every sketch. And so, but I would like, that would be so cool. And yet for me, it's a little bit like I'm trying to just like light, be so happy with like, I got so lucky. Mm-hmm. I've been so lucky to work with like nice people,
yeah,
who are also talented. And like,
so great.
I haven't been on a show where the hours are so crazy that I don't feel like I can be a version of the mom I want to be. I mean, do you ever feel like you're being the mom you want to be? No. And I know for me, like, and with this baby, it's going to be a totally different experience because I am going to go back to work.
Yeah. And there will be some guilt, I'm sure, that will come along with that because you will not be there as much.
I won't be there close. I mean, I spent 4 years with my son at all. And a lot of it was awesome. You know, it's like, even though ultimately, like, staying at home wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. But I also think it will be great, and I feel like it will just be her normal. And in some ways, like for my son, it was like this big shift.
Yeah.
And for her, it will just be what is life.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's going to be
crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say. But great, though, they'll each get a different kind of version of you. And, kids are so resilient, though.
I think
we worry so much that they're going to be deeply affected by everything.
Because we're not resilient, so we project.
Sure, yeah.
We're like, fuck.
Yeah, and they all, but also they have those moments where they just melt down over like a Cheerio and something. So we're like, oh God, they're never going to be strong.
Exactly.
But it's just like, that age.
It's that age, and oh my God. Yeah, it's going to be, I think it'll be good, and I'm just like.
Ready?
I'm more like, I can't believe I'm doing this again
starting
we
from the beginning.
Got all the way to Easy Street.
Yeah,
we're 7-year-old.
Yep.
And now we're like, what are we doing? Like, I got my breast pump because like now they're covered by insurance.
Yeah, mine was
amazing.
So great.
And I like teared up because I was like, I fucking hate pumping. What am I doing? And I got like diapers and I was like, oh my God, we're here again.
You are. Do they have a room at Fresh Off the Boat where you can go and pump?
Probably? I have an office. So
okay, so there you go. Just pump in your office.
But I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to be hard on myself the way I was with him, with my son.
No.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Formula's fine. Like, I'm not interested in like martyring myself.
And I wish that more moms would appreciate that and just embrace that, because it's so, I mean, I've seen moms who literally lock themselves up in their house and will not leave because they're afraid that their child won't take a bottle from anybody else or won't be able to
eat,
you know, if they're not there. And it's I don't want to say sad because it's the path that they've chosen, but I just wish that moms weren't so hard on themselves, you know?
I just wish that, do whatever you want that works for you, but like cut yourself some slack, cut all moms slack. Like, we're all just trying to figure it out.
Exactly.
Like, we're just trying to stay sane. Right?
So far so good.
I mean, ish.
Ish, right?
I've had
stain-ish. Wait, that's not what I meant to say. Stay sane-ish. So I want to ask you, I have a lot of actors that listen to my show.
Okay.
So since you're a producer and I get to like ask a, or I'm going to call you producer.
Oh,
all right.
Thank you.
Producer, writer, whatever. I'm projecting. How much influence do you have on the casting of a particular episode that you write? Or that you're maybe put in charge of or something.
So it's like an interesting thing because like it's such a group process, the whole thing, even though your name gets to be on like one or two episodes a season. But definitely like both the bosses I've had, like when it's your episode. Well, on Parks, we more watched casting together, and more of a, like...
A group thing?
Yeah, and if it was, like, a slightly bigger guest role, it would be, like, what funny person do you know that would be funny in this? And
that's interesting.
Stuff like that.
And so you guys would kind of throw out names.
Yeah, and again, like, especially on that show, because I was so green, I didn't throw too much out.
Right.
But, like, on Fresh Off the Boat, when it's your episode, Notch will ask you, and you watch casting stills, and, like... there was
so
like
you
a,
have to watch the auditions. So you actually do watch.
Yeah,
the
and then
audition.
She it's like obviously like it's her show and it's final say, but you might like seed through and be like, these were my three favorite.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then also like on my first episode, I was just like, oh, you know who could be? I just thrown out. You know who could be funny is like Mo Collins for this role. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, that's a great idea. And they got her for it. Yeah. So like, you definitely can.
There is some influence. Yeah.
You know, if you say something and the showrunner's like, that's not who I was thinking, they're not going to do it just because you said it. But, you know, I've been, I don't know if that's like that on every show, but like, I've been so lucky to work with people for two bosses who are like super collaborative and inclusive
and stuff like that.
Yeah. And like, I hired you and I'm going to like care that you have an opinion and a thought. Right. And so I've been so lucky.
That's so interesting to me because I always wonder as an actor when you go into your room and it's just you and a casting assistant or something and you say a couple lines. I always wonder where that goes from there.
Yeah.
Like, who sees it? Because I assume in my mind it doesn't go right to the executive producer, but maybe it does.
Yeah, I don't.
Right to the showrunner. Gosh, I would think the showrunner has so much stuff going on that they wouldn't sit down.
No, I would guess. I don't know what happens in the casting side of it, but like we get, like when you, like a when they send those, like you, there's like eight to watch. So I can't imagine.
Well, I'll tell you from the auditioning side of it, there's 25 people.
Right. So maybe they
pare it down. Yeah. And then you guys pare it down even more.
And it gets. Yeah. But
that's so interesting.
It does get watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in my mind, I'm hoping that someone's watching it.
Yeah. No, it
doesn't
does.
Just go off into the oblivion.
And it's like, I think most writers are pretty respectful of like how fucking hard it is to audition. And so,
there's no one watching a tape going, ooh, that was shitey.
I don't, there's not, I mean, maybe like I mean, it's maybe an internal thought, but like, it's not like, we sit around like making fun
and
of
just like
people.
Butcher these poor actors.
No,
that are,
who
like,
are just like, this is the worst. And you get like two lines out of context and like,
Right. And we're like, we have no idea. We're discussing.
Yeah.
Is that, how is that like for you to see multiple actors like kind of read your words and read lines that you, or jokes that maybe you came up with? Is it sort of like, ooh, they missed that one? Or,
right.
Oh,
I mean,
it's
so interesting because when you write it, you just have like an idea in your head. Mm-hmm. And then you realize like, oh my God, there's so many ways you could, this is where acting, this is where I could never be an actor. Like, there's so many ways to deliver it. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes an actor delivers lines like even funnier than you can imagine. Like, I feel like Constance does that a lot where I'm like, holy, that was
so
such
funny.
That's not like what it was in my head. And that was so much funnier. Like, you're so, you know. And
yeah,
like,
she's hilarious.
Or Randall, who's like,
yeah,
so amazing.
He was so nice when I was on.
He's
the
so
set.
Nice.
He sat and talked to me forever, and I was like, I'm just a, like a day player coming in and out, and he didn't
super
have to take
awesome
the time.
Guy.
And he has a daughter the same age as mine, and so we talked about kids stuff and baby
That's
stuff.
That's cool.
And I was like, you're so nice. Thank you for being so sweet.
Yeah, he's just an awesome guy. But like, so sometimes it's like you know, sometimes you had an idea and then you're like, ugh, that missed
that
the mark,
it.
But. A lot of times people just, like, surprise you with, like, an even funnier, because I'm not an actor. Like,
And what about improv? How does that play into the weekly show? You let your actors, do the actors improvise lines at all?
Yeah, I mean, on Parks, especially by the time I was there, there was a ton of, like, that freaking cast.
Yeah,
like, you're like,
I'm sure.
Please, you're funnier than I am. Do your thing.
Yeah.
On this show, I think especially because there's kids, we stick a little bit more to the script because, but we definitely, like, especially if it's just, like, a scene with the adults, then we let them go.
Play a little bit.
And play.
Yeah.
Like, usually try and get the scene as scripted a couple times and then are like, let's do a fun run or something.
Right, right.
And let people go. But, like, when it's the kids, I don't want to sound like I'm talking my ass, but my experience is I've been on it one season.
I'm
an expert.
Please talk out of your ass.
I know what I'm doing. But I think with the kids, you want to stick to the script, mostly because they spend so much time working on it and memorizing it. Like, that's such a bigger part of it.
That makes sense.
But they're so wonderful, and like every once in a while they'll improvise too. And like, I feel like the more probably they, like, even towards the end of the season two versus beginning,
they
probably
more
do it more comfortable, like trying stuff, and that's like fun to watch.
The kids on that show are the cutest.
They're so cute.
It's really just a great show, and I think we're honestly going to start seeing some more imitation shows of it. It's like when Modern Family came out, it was like,
oh yeah,
we've never seen anything like this
before.
then Blackish and Fresh Off the Boat came out, and now
it's cool.
NBC's got some shows that have cropped up that are kind of
in the area, judge,
but like a little not as great quality wise. I mean, I still,
NBC,
I would still be on
how
that
dare
show.
You?
I would still sleep with that show. I'm just saying, but
yeah, I mean, I would take a job on any show,
right? Exactly.
I'm a whore.
How much? Yeah, okay, I'm there. Well, anyway, I just want to thank you so much for coming by and
Thanks.
Taking the time to do this.
I know I wasn't like a pregnant bore.
No, oh my gosh, it's fascinating. I think I love everything you're saying about, you know, starting over again, and and you're being honest about the feelings, all the feels that you have as a mom, the guilt that comes with it. In
I'm
this
big
business.
On it because it's important to know everyone has them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important to know that you can still survive and have happy and healthy kids in this industry and not feel like you're failing in some way or not living up to the standard, the celebrity mom. I mean, because there are a lot of images of celebrity moms who make it harder for the average everyday mom, even in entertainment.
Totally.
To feel like you're missing the mark or something, you know?
Yeah, they have an army of people who help them, and good for them.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I have an army of people who help me, and that's the only way it works.
Right, like, right.
Whether that army is family or a nanny, I have all of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's,
you need help.
You need help. Yeah. You need help. Like, that's it's okay to take help.
Yes, that's true.
Like,
yeah.
Take the help. Your kid's fine.
Exactly.
They're good to have to, like, deal with all different kinds of people.
Yes.
It only helps them.
Do you tweet a lot? Can people find you on the Twitter?
They can
or the
find
Instagram?
Me on the Twitter. I don't tweet like a lot, but I tweet.
Do you tweet out your comedy,
jokes? I tweet some jokes sometimes, and then I like wait for my like five faves to roll in.
To be like, how many people are going to like this one?
I wonder. I know. Yeah. So
where can people find you on Twitter?
It's at MRS, Mrs. Fruck, Fruch.
Okay, and I'll put that on my website.
Or you can just probably search Rechna Fruchtbaum and find it. But I do. I tweet a little.
A little tweeting.
But action. I worked with, like, the funniest tweeters on Earth on Parks and Rec.
I know. I saw that. What's her name? Amria? What am I saying?
Megan Amria.
I was saying I'm going to butcher her name.
She's so funny.
Yeah, I saw that her title was she just wrote funny things on Twitter, and I was like, shut the fuck up.
She's amazing.
That doesn't happen.
She's like an amazing woman.
You just write funny things on Twitter and you get a job on Parks and Rec? That's
no,
amazing.
She like wrote a spec. Like, she's
okay,
also
I was like, get out of here.
Uber talented.
That's Glamour Magazine failing us on every level.
On every level. Just like, I mean, I really quick, like, we did a photo shoot for it, and the woman, it was so hilarious because, like, we are awkward comedy writer women, and we were like, what do you want us to do? And she was like, I don't know. I normally just take pictures of food. And we were like, what? And then she was like, we were like, how are we doing? And she her response was, it is what it is.
Oh, dear.
We were like, oh, no.
Oh,
and then
God.
That picture's super weird where it's like tiny in a corner. And
wow. Talk about a self-esteem booster on that.
Yeah,
one.
It was amazing.
But oh, wow.
Yeah, that
At least she wasn't
was
like, well,
hilarious.
You look delicious.
Like, that's know. True. You look like a kumquat I once shot.
Right?
But it was like, how yeah. funny. But anyway, they're all like just like such hilarious tweeters that I'm always sheepish about, like. My tweeting, but
don't
I do,
do
it occasionally.
Just get it out there.
Just do
I tweet
it.
The most random, benign things because I'm like,
oh, I have to follow you on
give
Twitter.
No Fs. Yeah, it's not. It's mostly me just like, please, for the love of God, listen to my podcast. But
that's cool.
People are like, all right.
People do listen to your podcast.
They do.
I saw. That's awesome.
They do. It's a fun show. We have a good time.
Yeah.
Well, it helps that I have interesting people on.
Well.
It's true.
I mean,
yeah,
I am.
You're welcome.
Truly interesting.
And on that note, you guys can find out more information about Rechna on motherhoodinhollywood.com, and I'll also put links to your Twitter on there as well, so people can see your occasional funny tweets. Thank you so much for coming
you.
On the show.
You're awesome.
Thank you. And you guys also follow me on Twitter at MIH Podcast, and also, again, find me on Facebook and Instagram at motherhoodinhollywood.com. Have a great week, you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Balls.